Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Threads, TikTok, at Avengers Podcast. One word, ladies and gentlemen, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You want to support the show? Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. $1 today gets you pre-show banter, access to episodes not found anywhere else, and Discord. Patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. But I'm just one of your hosts. I can't do it alone. My name is Brandon.
Milk those biscuits, I bet.
I unmuted you at the best time. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm sitting on biscuits.
Hey, you know what? Biscuits be biscuiting. Keith, I think we got your first word, so we're just going to move on.
All right.
I'm just kidding. How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing good. I was going to say Skoden or Skoden, which is from watching Reservation Dogs. It means, let's go.
Wait, Skoden?
Okay.
Skoden.
Skoden. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good deal.
S-K-O-D-E-N.
Yeah. Well, let's go indeed, because we're here with the finale of Echo. Echo Episode 5. Guys, this series ended 5 weeks ago. Took us 5 weeks. We're here. It is Echo Episode 5, Maya. So if you have not watched Episode 5 of Echo, please do not listen any further because we are going to spoil it. We're going to give our thoughts, a deep dive into the episode, and everything in between. So please don't listen any further. We'll catch you on the other side. We'll see you when you've watched it. Hey, and if you don't care, hey, I just want to hear the Avengers. I don't really want to watch Echo. Cool. You're in the right place. But here we go, guys. We're going to spoil it. Emmy has been Team Echo this whole time. No offense. I'm not going to start with Emmy because I know Emmy's just straight up, I like this, and I like the finale, and they didn't show me shit, but I thought it was good. And me, I know my feelings, so I really don't want to go first. So, Keith, you're going to start us out, my friend. What did you think of the finale of Echo?
Okay, so there were two things that I kind of knew going into this finale, as much as I try to avoid spoilers. So one of them came from a friend of mine, Matt, who comments on our YouTube quite a bit.
Matt, you're awesome, by the way.
He's awesome.
I really do love Matt. He's got great comments.
Wait, did we give a spoiler alert?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you not listen to
me? I'm sorry.
I went through like the 10-minute spoiler warning. How the hell did you not hear that?
Sometimes I tune you out, man.
Jesus
Sometimes I
Christ.
Tune my students out.
Quit. Emmy got an Apple Watch today, and she has not been the same since. She's even more ADHD than she was previous. Emmy, swear.
Do you see who's on it? Do
you see? You're not in frame.
You're SpongeBob.
Oh. Hold on. I can put you in frame. Do it again. Who's on? Hold on. Is that Daddy? That's
Daddy Moon Knight.
That is Daddy Moon Knight.
Mr. Knight.
All right. Well, yes, Emmy. While you were looking at Daddy Knight, we gave a spoiler warning.
I wasn't even looking.
We're okay. We're okay to proceed. Keith, sorry for the interruption. What was your spoiler-filled thoughts of Echo Episode 5?
Okay, so Matt had heard that what we were saying was like Biscuits is gonna die, and like he's like, you guys are so wrong about the show, and like without revealing. Then he says to me, "Oh, then there's that one moment where that guy kills a bunch of people," and I was thinking in my head, Henry, and I was like really excited. I was like, "What? He's gonna?" But turns out he was just fucking with me. So thank you, Matt. I appreciate your candor. And the other thing I knew about this finale was that it was spoiled to me online that Kingpin got healed in some kind of way. That was very upsetting to fans, especially diehard Kingpin fans. They were like annoyed by that. He's not himself anymore. He's not the badass that we know. He's nerfed in some way. But honestly, I'm excited to get into it. I really enjoyed this episode. I watched it once. I thought it was good. I watched the assembled behind the scenes. And that in itself was like a healing moment for me. I feel like Maya did like the hashtag symbol on my forehead and healed my brain. And then I watched it a second time and loved it all the more. So I'm really stoked to talk about this finale and the series as a whole.
All right. Well, we will go to the descending opinion because I know Emmy liked it as well. We'll get to Emmy in just a moment. However, wasn't a fan. I really did not think that this finale stuck in the slightest for me. I really thought this series progressively got worse as the series went on. I lost interest. Kingpin did not feel like Kingpin. There was no stakes. No one died. It was just a very run of the mill. Now she's got powers. She's got a suit. And she's it found a way for TVMA to follow the same formula we've seen day in and day out. And to me, I wanted something fresh. I wanted something exciting. I really didn't feel it from here. Yes, there's original characters. And yeah, the first two episodes, damn, yeah, this is going to take a turn. This is going to be the MCU in a way we haven't seen it before. Besides a couple of deaths, and some, you know, it was just, it's the same MCU. No one dies. And I told you I'd be disappointed last week if no one died. And I am. I'm very disappointed. You have this huge, you have a huge threat in Kingpin to feel like a huge threat. And I don't think you nerfed him. I think you just fucked up. Yeah, I don't think you just made, you didn't do anything with him. I don't even think you nerfed. I think you just, it's Marvel. And I hate to use that as a criticism because I love the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I love it. It's my favorite series of movies, favorite series that I've ever seen in my entire life. But they're just not branching out in a way that I would expect them to at this point. I feel like that we're just hitting repeat on stories and just insert character A, insert character B, tie to family, tie to family life or home life, give cool suit, give cool powers, repeat, finds herself in the end. Cool. I wanted Maya to be different. I wanted Maya to feel like a different character. She is unique. She is a badass. Yet she got on the cart of the MCU and stayed on that cart the entire time from episode 3 on. And it just felt, oh, we've seen this before. And that's disappointing because I wanted Maya to be a lot more than this. And I thought they set her up great. They didn't land it at all. I was very disappointed. I can see why this got rated as low. And to start out with, I was confused by the ratings. By the end of it, I'm kind of shocked it's as high as 60 and 61%, to be perfectly frank. Not a fan. Like I said, it just kind of fell off. What about this episode was unique? I don't know. I'm curious. I'm obviously missing something. I know I'm going to be outnumbered in this episode. So I'm curious to hear both of your points as we go scene by scene on what I'm missing. Because I just didn't feel this episode at all. Anyway, so that's my thoughts. Echo. All right. Well, maybe next time. All right. So, Emmy, what'd you think of Echo episode 5?
You're making some valid points, I do think. And I think that being on the podcast, I see those points a lot more, talking to you about them like week to week. Like it has developed the points and I've internalized them and I can see where you're coming from. Honestly, overall, I enjoyed everything. I loved that they were representing another culture that's not seen very often. I loved that there was female leads. It was the first one in mature or MA, whatever that is. Mature, right?
Yeah, mature audiences.
Mature audience. I was like, why is it just what we can?
It's
like,
for mom, pa.
Mom, pa. it hits some really great themes. I still liked this episode. I'm sorry for what I'm about to say because the sentence that's coming out of my mouth, it doesn't sound right taken out of context.
I'm scared if we have to edit something.
I'm so scared.
It gave me Twilight. It gave me Twilight in that it promised something amazing and just didn't completely deliver. I expected this finale to be so much more than what it was. I expected a lot more from Kingpin. I think I expected a little bit more from Maya. In Twilight, whenever they have that big battle in the last movie,
yeah.
And the then Kendall, and you're like, battle. Oh, this is awesome. And then it's like, oh, it was all a vision. Oh, fuck off. Ah,
yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that. It just totally wastes it.
I forgot about that too. I mean, that's a really good call out. I forgot.
Wow. This is what could be. We could pull heads off vampires like a little Ken doll.
Yes.
But no, it didn't happen.
But it was like, yeah, because I remember being like, I read these books and this did not happen, but this is awesome. But it was that feeling from the trailer to the finale. I got that feeling. It was like, oh, it was an illusion. It was a mirage. Tricks are what whores do for money. I do illusions.
I just want to just real quick. Whenever I think you're going to zig, Emmy, you zag. And I appreciate I think that was strong feedback.
Thank you.
I really like that take. I really do.
I still have.
I know you have more thoughts. Sorry. I just really like
that. Just a little bit more. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, I like that you're calling that out. I think that is such a valid point. I know you like this series, but I really I just want to commend you there. I thought that was really strong.
Still really like it. It didn't hold up to what I expected the show based on the trailer to be. She healed her family. I thought that was a cool moment. I like that she was kind of like, I'm not a part of your legacy. I'm a part of their legacy. And she really got in touch with her Choctaw roots. So I appreciated that, but it was kind of like, meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My expectations were so high and I'm not disappointed. I'm just.
No, you're not upset. You're just disappointed.
I'm not finished.
Right. Yeah. You want to keep going.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Okay.
That's sorry. That's strong. No, I love that. That's great feedback. Keith.
I was just going to say a rebuttal it before. I know we got Rotten Tomatoes to do still, but the way that Emmy's talking about her, our expectations were high. I feel like right before, or maybe it was just last episode, my expectations went super low because I started thinking about how much what this show could have been if it was the original planned out six episodes. And I've been thinking about that most of the time watching it, thinking, okay, was it really better or was it actually, because it wasn't the director and writers that would come in and change it. It was the studio and it was the producers. So how much could they really be improving it? Or did they look at it and make a better product for us to take in five episodes? There's no way to know. We'll never know.
Right.
But it did drop my expectations a lot. So when I saw the finale, I knew it was going to be bloated. I knew we were going to get a lot of shit just done, solved, fixed, whatever. It was kind of, I would say, good, not great. And then when I watched, like I say, I watched the Assembled. Did either of you watch the Assembled episode?
No.
I haven't had a chance to. No. And I need to watch that, and I need to watch the Marvels one came out recently, too.
I would say it's worth watching before our Avengers Assembled episode next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is really, it puts things into perspective a lot more. It's probably the most interesting Assembled episode I've seen in a long time, because it not only deals with the indigenous side of the research they did, but also the ASL stuff. So it's very cool. And for someone who likes behind the scenes stuff, I haven't been this impressed in a while as far as, you know, needing to see how they did it. But what's up?
Do you think we need an Avengers Assemble though to make a show better?
True. Good point. I think it just fucked with my expectations to the point of my second watch of the finale, I was thinking of the whole season as a whole, and that's where I'm at now. Yeah. That is what's affecting it. I do get your points. I do think that Kingpin was lackluster. I do think that there's a lot of things they could have done differently and done better. And that's what I'll always wonder, is what was the six-episode version of this show, and did they make the right choice by cutting one down? It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It made me like the show more because of just me really not liking episode five, I guess, was my main reason. Yeah.
I did. I liked this episode a lot more on my second watch. I will say that.
I need to watch it a second time so I can hate on it more. I'm joking. It's funny because, and admittedly, I fell asleep in the middle of this episode. Like, I actually woke up and had to rewind and watch it. I mean, it was a tough, but I was also traveling for work. I was tired as fuck. And
soured by the fact that you didn't get to have the Domino's pizza and sit?
My viewing was soured because this story just sucked. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't suck. It was just below expectations. It's so funny. Keith talks about like, hey, my expectations were so low from episode five. That's why episode four. That's why episode five, that with the Avengers, Jesus
Christ. Right, right.
The assembled, rose it up. To me, I just felt like I was on a cart just going straight downhill the entire time. I was like, this is everything I worried the finale would be is exactly what the finale was. Like everything, wow. She's going to get the power. She's going to get the suit. She's going to follow the thing. There's going to be no stakes, and it's going to be very cliche. Kingpin's not going to pose a real threat. Everything, I was like, please prove me wrong. Please.
And,
I just never felt like it never, any of my fears that I was like, please don't go this direction. All of them, they went that direction. And I was like, and I was fearing it because I was genuinely... Like I was like, this is the Marvel thing. They're going to do the Marvel thing. And I, in the back of my mind, I think I even told myself just silently, like, oh, they'll pull something out, Brandon. They're going to throw kind of something a little out of left field that you're not ready for.
And they'll kill biscuits.
And they didn't. They didn't do any of it. And that's what bummed me out. There was like four or five things they could have just done. And they went exactly the way I saw it. And maybe that's also just watching these movies and these shows repeatedly for years. And I can kind of see it before it happens. But it's really extremely disappointing when you are hoping for something to just be different than what you're perfectly expecting. And that sucks. I get it.
They weren't cooking steaks at the barbecue at the end.
That's... Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. That's a very good point, Amy. Well done.
I mean, I saw steaks.
No, that's perfect. Thank you.
There's two criticisms specifically that you've said that I 100% agree with. One, the TVMA thing. What? Why did you give this TVMA rating when we got...
TVMA.
What did I say? TV...
The American Music Awards. TVAMA. Yeah.
Why give it a mature rating and make it the first thing and not if they did go back and do reshoots to try and make that a bigger selling point? I mean, beyond Vicky's death.
And
Vicky, by the way, Emmy was Vicky was the character in episode three that
I know. Yeah. Well, now that y'all shamed me for it,
shout out to episode four, Emmy, who forgot about Vicky. Who's Vicky?
You know what? He doesn't even matter anymore. He's dead.
Yeah. Oh.
True. Violently, I'll say. No, but like to give it
that and the beating and then... that the ice cream man took. Mm-hmm. Those are both pretty
true.
Brutal.
Mm. True. And that, like that again.
And
that
the spine breaking really in the first episode.
Much. Yes, that's probably like to me. It's like go. You know, the thing that we love about Deadpool when he gets that R rating. Is it gets played with to the nth degree. You want to see the R rating in an MCU thing or a Marvel thing. And so he does that, and that's great.
That's my
dip. What does he say when he's there? He's like, my boyfriend said this was a rom-com, and he just turned that guy into a kebab.
Yeah.
Into a fucking kebab.
Yeah.
So I will agree with you on that one, Brandon, for sure. Another thing I'll say is the more MCU we get, the more we expect. And we're putting everything through this lens of they've made so many great things and that's all we're going to, that is what we have to compare it to. And there are people who just join or they just check out one show at a time or something and they see a quality show being made compared to other shit. And MCU has a great format or formula for making at least high quality production value, high quality many things, and they put a shit ton of that in this series. But you're right, we'll never know what the sixth episode version is, and there are quite a few cons I have coming up that will
explore. And I think it's also they've made so much good shit, but it's also they've made so much where it, you know, like now it's, and I said it before and I'll keep it brief, it just is starting to feel very formulaic. Where it felt original and fresh at one point, well, when you kind of copy and paste and tweak a couple little things, it still feels like I'm looking at the same drawing, just with a couple little nuances that are different. You know, I mean, you could insert any character in this, you know, and it wouldn't, to me, it doesn't, yes, the Choctaw and that amazing culture, and also, you know, but still.
Disabilities.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God. Yeah. But, instead of It never felt like it highlighted those to me in a way that felt unique. It just felt like, hey, these are a couple cool things about her. Here's an MCU hero. Here's a couple little, you know, it didn't feel like it was interwoven into a character that felt new and fresh. It just felt like, hey, here's her two qualities that makes her different.
Yeah.
MCU hero. You know, and it's just like, that's where that maybe is a controversial thing to say, but like, it just doesn't feel like it was interwoven enough where, oh man, Echo is a little, I've never seen them do something like this before. You know, it just felt like, oh, okay, this is another hero. Okay, cool.
It's like the surprise that we got was the simple fact that we were getting a show about a indigenous, deaf, and an amputee.
Yeah.
All three of those things. That's a surprise. Okay, well, we knew all three of those things going in, and then you gave us a typical Marvel show.
Right.
I understand the complaint there.
I think it's a fair point. I don't know that I completely agree, just because it is so unique from anything that we have seen before. I mean, we got a different culture from Ms. Marvel, and we've got a deaf superhero from Eternals. So like, true. But like, this is more like more unique. I don't know. That's not a qualifier that I want to stick in front of that.
They explored, well, especially two of those three things, because the character in the comics is not missing a leg. They purely added that in because of Alacqua, which is so cool. They didn't explore that as much as they explored the indigenous side of things and the deaf side of things more.
Like her comic book character.
Those were done really cool in the series, but the story itself was formulaic Marvel.
And it was more the focus than anything else. Yeah.
So before we go to Rotten Tomatoes, because we're going to dive into Rotten Tomatoes and then kind of go into our scene by scene breakdown. If you're on the YouTube, you already see it below us. However, if you're not, we are going to give a recommendation. Twitch.tv/TheAvengers Podcast. We are going to be live next Friday, February 16th at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. We are going to be live. And we are going to be streaming our thoughts on both What If and Echo. So we're going to make a post on Patreon very, very shortly. So if you are a patron of ours, please comment your thoughts on What If and or Echo, and we'll feature you on the show. We'll read your comments live on air. And also, if you want to join us, you want to chat with us live, I want to talk with Emmy, Brandon, and Keith. We will be there. So check us out, twitch.tv/Avengers Podcast. Subscribe, turn a notification on. We will be live. Set a reminder, February 16th, 7 p.m. Come talk What If and Echo with us. We'd love to have you. Quick little shameless plug there. Thank you so much. Emmy, what's our Rotten Tomatoes looking like?
All right. I'm just going to cut it to y'all straight.
Same.
It stayed the same. I think it's finally leveled out. We're far enough out that everything stayed the same.
It's been 10 years since Echo released, so it's about time. It's all just, all right.
Critics are at 70%. Audiences have landed at 61%. IMDb is at 6.1, and 62% of Google users like this show.
Okay.
Officially.
Officially. I can't even say that wrong.
Standing on business.
Good deal. Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to jump into our Echo Episode 5, which was titled, I said it at the beginning, but just in case you missed it, Maya. This is Episode 5, Maya. And yeah, she missed the spoiler warning as well. By the way, spoiler alert ahead, if you have not watched Episode 5.
Oh, shit, I haven't watched it.
See, that's what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to spoil this right out of the gate. Maya kills a woodpecker. That's literally my first note. Maya kills a woodpecker as a child. Now the woodpecker is not a child.
Injures.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay.
Kids know not what they do.
Oh, and Maya straight up lies. Maya straight up lies. She's like, it's hurt. I found it. Fell from a tree.
This bird that can fly fell out of a tree.
And I love her mom's like,
what did you really do to it? You shit.
Yeah, you little shit. And Maya's like, hey, I wanted to see if I could hit it. And that honestly is such a little kid thing. I wanted to see if I could do it. I did it. And I was like, fuck. I think we've all, if you haven't had that, I had a dumbass moment. There was a candle.
Just one?
I had more than one, but this is the dumbass moment I'm talking about right
this
here.
Week?
There was, guys, I was a kid. Fuck off, Keith.
Right.
Fuck you both. There was a candle, and I remember, for some reason, I had a napkin in my hand, and my mom always had, like, candles lit, and it was nighttime. And I put, the napkin over the candle, like, way above it, and it was making this cool light on the ceiling. And I thought that was the coolest fucking thing. All fucking napkin went up in flames in my hand and fucking,
no way.
Yeah, I had to get a big glass of water to put it out. But anyway, there's a little burn spot on the carpet, and my mom's like, "What the fuck were you doing?" I'm like, "I wanted to see the cool lights. I wanted to see if it would make anything cool." She's like, "You set the fucking house on fire almost." I'm like, "Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to see what I'd do. I'm having a child in 6 weeks. What the fuck?" Anyway, so yeah, it's you do stupid shit. I wanted
houses
to see if
aren't
I could
nearly as flammable as they used to be. It's okay, man.
That's a good. Don't take Keith's advice.
That is absolutely not true.
Don't take Keith's advice there. Don't listen to him. He's lying. He's yeah. not true right there.
They used to paint the insides of houses with lead paint.
That's what I'm
That's
saying.
Metal.
It used to be worse.
Metal's not flammable. Metal is
yeah,
flammable.
But latex.
My God. Don't All take right. any flammable advice from Keith and me. Don't do it. Anyway. I could relate to little Maya. I was like, yeah, you want to see if you can.
I set a roll of paper towel on fire on the roll. And you know what my thought was as it was catching? Oh, gosh. And it just
fan kept it.
Catching. Yeah, just keep. And
when
then
you
I
fan flames. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah.
Just grew and grew. Oh, my gosh.
Well, they invented the roll so perfectly that it would roll off as opposed to away. So it was like that was just giving. It was brilliant on the roll people's part. Good job, roll people.
Because they wanted them to catch on fire?
No, they just wanted more paper towel to be readily available. Not for flames.
Not for flames.
With drying needs.
See, I see. When I was in college, I was making pasta one time, and I thought it was genius, and I broke, the spaghetti noodles, and I put them on a plate before I put them into the boiling water so that they would all cook evenly. And so whenever I poured the plate of noodles, broken noodles, into the pot, none of them basically made it into the pot, and they all caught fire on the burner.
Oh, no.
How old were you?
In my college.
Because we're talking how we were children, and you talked about and you were in college.
And my roommate came into the kitchen, and I, with noodles on fire, I hadn't yelled for help yet. I was just going,
"You're gonna fix this yourself, of course."
Tried to blow them out.
So, Emmy, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In college, when you set noodles on fire and you started to blow on the noodles that were on said fire, Were you collectively?
100% sober. Yeah.
Oh my God. Nice.
That's
good. Yep.
That's worse.
During the day.
That's worse.
Completely sober.
I was trying to give you an out, but never mind.
And I've had the fire department called on me cooking twice. That is not one of the times.
Oh wow. So yeah. Allegedly,
if you smell something burning, you're probably smelling Emmy cooking wherever you're at. Yeah.
There's a reason that my microwave was on top of my stove for over a year.
I remember that.
My stove was unusable.
To remind you not to use
Do
it.
Not
don't
use
fucking
it.
Use it.
So
okay, sorry. Oh, I had a really profound thought while I was watching this. The episode opens on ripples in a lake. It also closes with it doesn't close with it, but like the one of the last scenes is the ripples on the lake.
Yeah.
Ripples are just they're just water echoes.
Yeah, they are. See, Brandon, you're wrong. This show's great. Ripples are water echoes, son.
I
learn about
have
it.
Never been more ashamed to be on this show in my entire life than this moment right now. Not only this profound moment by Emmy, but Keith coming in like, yeah, fuck yeah, water echoes.
Wasn't high.
All right, guys.
That should be their motto.
We make ripples. That make that into a t-shirt. Hey,
ripples, liquid echoes,
liquid water echoes, liquid water echoes. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. So hey, the energy's humming. The Choctaw, the energy from the Choctaw, this hummingbird is okay. Everything's great.
Woodpecker.
Woodpecker.
Why did I say hummingbird? Energy humming is what I put. That's why I got hummingbird. I was like, why the hell did I say hummingbird? But the energy is humming from her mom. To the bird. Doesn't change the bird into a hummingbird. Makes the woodpecker come back.
You can't say the energy's been pecking. That's weird.
You can. You ever have night where the energy is pecking? Ever have that?
I'm feeling peckish right now, and I'm
not. All right. If you're turned on, you're not alone. Join us. Avengers After Dark. Next Friday. twitch.tv/Avengers Podcast.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
I have something then.
All right, slut. Anyway, so we are the heartbeat stop. We go to the car crash. The heartbeat stops. I heard that this time. Did we hear that in the original? I don't remember. I'm sorry.
I don't think we did. I don't think we did either. I took note of the fact that the subtitle said heartbeat stops.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And we see, anyway, just a flashback to Maya as a child and trying to see if she could hit woodpeckers. And her mom's magical. So there you go.
Can I just point out something that I noticed today, just because whenever I watched this after we recorded last week, I didn't watch the previously on because I was like, oh, go to see the finale. and so like as quick as I could, I skipped through everything, not everything, but like anything I could skip. No, I skipped.
Yeah.
But this time they had Maya's father's death and Maya's mother's death in such close succession that they all, in all instances, except for her father, had like the same kind of like markings of blood on their face.
Wow.
During both deaths.
I did not put
that. So like her mom had. No, I'm sorry. Wait. Okay. So when her dad dies, he like puts the blood on her face in the same way that it looks like her mom has it on her face whenever she dies.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I also noticed later that Maya also looks like she has a little bit of that as well. I'm reaching. I'm stretching.
Hey, it's yoga time. You know what? Thanks for joining us for stretch hour. But we're going to Chula, we're back to the same thing. She's here for business. Don't give a fuck about his feelings. And,
Oh, it's not that. It's so different this time. You crazy.
It is different. You crazy. Because he saved her sewing machine, and he even cleaned and oiled it because he knew she'd come back for it. What if she didn't?
He lubed it up for her.
What if she didn't come back for it? What if she didn't? Then what? You know? Because I'm assuming it's been years. At some point, he's like, man, I should probably fucking sell that sewing machine. She ain't coming back for it.
He'd forget about it like every retailer does. They forget about shit that's in the back with a nice blanket on it.
As soon as she's like, hey, sewing machine, he's like, gotcha, boo. And he went and grabbed it. He didn't forget.
It's meaningful.
He didn't forget. It's meaningful. And who's going to buy an old-ass sewing machine?
I would.
Sure. Well, the other thing, too, is we got parallel of the scene before where they're having their talk and she's very cold with him. But, kind of trying to warm up. And he's not giving up. He's really not. And he said, put her in her place. He said, maybe you should just fucking listen for a second. He didn't say it like that, but still.
Would have been more TVMA than this finale was.
Wait, I'm sorry. I think I hate this show now if that's what happened.
Yeah. Hey.
You should listen.
Why don't you fucking listen every fucking once in a while? Fuck. TVMA.
And then she had that moment with Maya where Maya yelled at her and got her the weight off her shoulders, the chip off her shoulder.
Yeah.
And then she shut right up. This is the new Chula. This is the her coming back with a little bit more warmth towards Scully because he
and going
thoughtful.
Yeah. And going back to her art.
Yeah.
I need just give me 30 seconds, guys. Just need a little bit of a little perch.
No.
Give it to me, Keith. All right, thank you. Right. How the fuck does Chula not have any idea who Kingpin is? What he looks like in this universe and how connected she felt to the very first episode where obviously, hey, I know the shit you're into. Hey, you're going to New York. It was such a jarring moment. And maybe it was just me and my presumption. Like, I was thinking, but when he was like, hey, and she's like, oh, your necklace. Excuse me, your necklace. It's American Sign Language. It means I love you, you know? Like, and my granddaughter, she's just like, blah, blah, blah. You know, someone bad is like this whole fuck. Am I thinking the world is dumb or am I just expecting too much? Like, I was blown away at this point that, okay, Chula's just like, yep, it's my granddaughter. She's deaf. And like, it's just like, wait, what? Yep. My granddaughter, Maya, she's coming from New York, don't you know? And I'm like, when did this whole show get stupid?
When did she end up in Minnesota?
She's from Oklahoma, Brandon.
My whole point is, why did Chula just fucking watch the first episode? Who the fuck is this?
I think, you know what? Okay, here's what I think.
There's two writers that just wrote two different Chulas? It feels nothing. It feels not. It doesn't feel cohesive at all. And it also feels like the dumb relative that gives everything away and then they're captive. It's like, what? Why can characters, especially side characters that feel smart, just be smart? Why do they have to always just have some level of dumbassery to them? It just feels so stupid. Sorry.
You go first, Demi.
I'm sorry. Okay. Get him.
All right. I think, hey.
I was just stunned by that. I'm sorry. Put your watch away. You're no longer allowed to wear the Apple Watch while recording.
It's making your camera freeze.
It is, actually.
The watch. It's the
it
watch.
It really is. I feel like it happened both times.
No, that was the phone.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, we're cool. We're
okay.
Good.
Yeah, oh,
we're get him. Just notice everything drop down. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. This is your phone. Yeah.
Oh.
It's not on your wrist. So. Okay.
I thought that after Maya kind of stood up to Chulo, that this was kind of her being like, damn, she's a fighter. I respect her. And I'm like proud of her.
Yeah.
I'm not asking her to be proud or not. I'm asking the sheer fact that there's a fucking kingpin and she has no fucking clue.
That's why she's like proud of her right now. And that's why she told Kingpin about her.
I'm not my point is not she should be proud or she shouldn't be proud. It just, this doesn't feel like I've never seen you before. I don't know who the hell you are. Let me just tell you everything about this. It just feels like there's an imminent threat. You've talked to Henry. You've talked to everybody. You know what presence Maya brings. You've warned the whole fucking time. And then this is like, hey, stranger, let me tell you a little bit about my criminal drug lord granddaughter who just came back from New York and is wanted by several people, and I've never seen you before. Let me just tell, and you seem like a little intimidating. Let me just tell you all about her. Not because you're not proud or proud. That, to me, is not the point.
The fact that Chula is just like,
here's the deck of cards. Let me fucking tell you. I've got two fours. And two sixes. Here's my hand. Do you want to? You know, I just what? Keith, help me out. Sorry.
I got a devil's advocate or like an angel.
I will not accept devil's advocate. I will accept logic. I am not going to.
But it's these fingers.
I don't want to have to stretch to make this work in my brain, and I feel like that's what we do. All right.
One,
yes.
I think it is very jarring, especially in the years that we've had recently, where not only are people in their phones, not really interacting. Keith,
middle fingers down. We're trying anymore. To be a middle fingers down. Sorry. We're trying to be a family friendly podcast. All right.
Back to red rum fingers. One, I do understand how it's jarring because people don't socialize in a public setting like this very much anymore. And maybe they do in some parts of the world, but it's not something I've seen very often where people at the post office suddenly strike up a conversation like this. That is weird. Secondly, I'll say I'm not sure what is and what isn't supposed to be. I understand that the Daredevil Netflix series is supposed to be canon right now. And to me, that means that Kingpin should be someone people know as a villain. And should be someone people have heard of before, and definitely someone that Chula should have heard of if all of that is canon. And if that's true, then yeah, Chula's stupid in this scenario. What I don't understand is why people like Kate Bishop didn't know about Kingpin, why other, like there's other people that should have known or heard of the big guy. And if that's not really clear yet because of it having not been canon until recently, maybe they didn't think of that. But yeah, it is weird. I'll give you that. It is very strange that she didn't kind of clue in. Not only is this guy a very noticeable and meaningful interaction I had at the post office today, but he asked a lot of really specific and suspicious questions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you'd heard of or even knew what Maya was going through with her crime boss kind of thing going on in New York, you should have probably assumed that something was up.
Yeah, this seems like a New York crime boss. Maybe I shouldn't tell him everything. All right. I can see that. Okay. All right.
Once again, the Chula in episode 1 and 2 does not feel anything like this one at all. It doesn't. And that's the most jarring thing. I was like, Chula's in on some shit. This is okay. I'm curious to see where this goes. And she just by episode 5 is the clueless grandma. And it's like, damn, what a waste of a character. That's just my opinion. I'm sorry. What a waste. I think she was intriguing in the first 2 episodes. Last episode, like, come on.
That is a nitpick of mine of the show.
Straight up critique of mine, man.
That is a good point.
It's not utilized well.
I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
When I want to call him Stanky Leg, and that's not his name.
Stanky Leg?
Biscuits?
Yeah. No, when
that's what I usually, when I smell a biscuit, I'm like, oh, that smells like a...
It starts with an S. What is the step grandpa's name?
Scully. Stanky Leg.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Stanky Leg.
I know. I knew it wasn't right.
Can we just call him Stanky Leg? No, can we call... I knew it started with an S, though. Can we just start calling him Stanky Leg now? I like that. Let's just straight up. Let's make that change now. Right.
Okay. Right. When Stanky Leg saw Chula in the pawn shop, he says, something. There she is. Radiant as the sun shining out of my... And she stops him.
Yeah.
Was he going to say ass?
Ass. Yes, of course. He's shining sun out of his ass by just saying this comment.
It's so funny. I'm a little sappy. I know she interrupted him, but I thought like window, like literally the sun radiating out. Like, that's a beautiful thing. I thought he was going to go sweet with it. But no. Okay.
The sun doesn't radiate out of your window. Yes, it does. It radiates into your window.
It can radiate out. What? You don't know.
If the sun is inside of your house.
It can be this. It can go through it.
Oh man!
Oh, this—it's going to get philosophical or something.
You're welcome. Let's have a Theseus conversation now. Ship of Theseus.
Because I feel like once sunlight hits something from the sun, it becomes natural light, and when it's reflected off of, you're not even listening to me. What? It's like talking to my students.
I
heard it.
I did too.
Because you're trying to say poop in sign language over and over again.
Fuck off, Emmy. Don't ruin the audio. They don't get this. You know? So sorry, audio listeners. You don't know what that looked like.
I do think he was going to say ass.
He was going to say ass.
Is that a compliment or
no,
a diss?
It's a diss. It's a straight up diss.
He's trying to make her laugh. They have a thing.
So like that's it's how, like no you are they you had are a thing. Beautiful but only no. only as beautiful as the sunlight coming out of my butthole.
So hold on now is
I think you're reading too much into this. Oh,
okay,
I'm
all right,
say,
Scully.
I didn't expect to defend this episode so much to both of you. My God,
Scully.
Oh, I think I'm gonna start saying that. I think that's adorable.
But she wants
that's
to know is she complimenting or offending people? She wants to know our opinions first before she starts saying it. Emmy,
I don't honestly, you know what? I don't give a shit.
There you go.
I'm just going to start saying it.
So Scully, after making up with Chula, do you think he's in now?
I think he's in. Right. I think so too. That they
hell yeah. When you hold onto a sewing machine that long and you put a nice blanket over it.
You oil that shit.
You're in, man. You're in.
A woman likes when you make sure she's wet. You know what I mean? Like you
lube. Oh my
God. Scott, sorry. Her sewing machine.
Lubricated.
Her sewing machine lubricated. Sorry, I apologize. But yeah, you lubricate that sewing machine.
That's what I call mine too. The sewing machine.
Oh no!
Sounds painful.
Oh, no.
So,
got tangled.
Biscuits. He's directing cars, and as soon as I saw him, I'm like, "Yes,
he's gonna die."
He's gonna die. He's direct, and he's like, "Hey, where are you?"
No, you don't. Don't let them tell you that.
Okay. Amy actually has a Biscuits action figure. It's pretty cool. So YouTube, check it out. It's really cool. Where are you? Pokeney? I always mess that up. And Bonnie are supposed to be here about an hour ago. Just text.
And then she sees the woodpecker, which is a sign of death warnings. Yeah.
That's deep. And the energy.
It's happened. They talk about
it. Oh, I know. I said, I was Keith.
Very.
I got you. I'm agreeing with you. I'm good.
Very explicit there the Easter egg there. Did you guys catch another Easter egg that was a little bit less explicit?
Roxxon Oil Company. Oh,
fuck off.
Yeah. No coming back in a big way.
That was.
We'll never be rid of it.
No. And I kind of like it. It was all there was something about Roxxon Core or whatever in all of the Iron Man movies, including Iron Man 2.
Oh, shut up. God.
And then I noticed it from Loki.
As if saying store. All the Iron Man movies doesn't include.
No, she has to. She's like all the Iron Man movies, including Iron Man 2. Don't say all the Iron Man movies. Just say Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3 or all the Iron Man movies. Don't. Fucking just
let me. You know, sometimes you gotta highlight one.
Sometimes you don't have to be a douche.
I like Iron Man 3 the most, so.
You both suck. Iron Man, the very first movie, is near perfection. Iron Man 2 and 3 can go suck a butt. All right.
Shane Black wrote and directed Iron Man 3. I cannot turn that man down as far as the movie goes. Too good.
Well, too good. So we see the energies humming. And there you aren't alone. All of us that came before and after are part of you. We're an echo through you. And
this is when she goes back home and sees her mom.
Yeah, what are we talking about, Brent?
Why are you spoiling this, Emmy? Did you give a spoiler warning before you fucking started saying shit? Jesus. I'm going to give you shit for that forever. but yeah, she goes back and sees. It's funny. I have autocorrect on, so this is what literally my notes says. Coke from a very long line of special women. That's I'm assuming that you came from a special a long line of special women. But I have Coke from a Yeah. Anyway,
It also goes with the line.
It does. And don't run, stay. Fight for us and don't forget your gifts. Talks about the strategy of being cunning, the ferocity, love, and every seam on the suit shows that you're part of us and we of you. I love you always. And there's a superhero suit. Here it is. I mean, I feel like Deadpool would have a field day with this show because I think he would just be like, ha! Anyway, Keith, you're dying. What do you got?
Okay, so the limited things that I have learned about the indigenous culture through my mom. She has an association with, she has a few friends now nearby Mohawk Reservation that she's been going to regular ceremonies with and telling me all about it. And she was the one who told me never call them what they wear costumes, say regalia. What it's called is regalia. And to me, a show about Indigenous people for the first time in the MCU, you cannot not have a regalia reveal or a super suit in a way. Because it is so important, it's handed down from generation to generation. The fact that it was a Chula creation after years of no creation from her, she didn't feel creative because she'd lost her daughter. And they say actually in their culture, you shouldn't be making anything like that with negative energy. You should be making it with positive energy. So the confrontation she had with Maya and then immediately afterward started feeling inspired to make that suit for her, and that every seam is handing down like part of her family and her story. This isn't the show to skip that step. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't the show to skip that part in the Marvel formula where you get a super suit. Like, this isn't a super suit. This is a Indigenous regalia. This is something that she will represent in the best ways. And so as much as I understand your exhaustion with the formula, that's something they can't skip. They can't do another way. So that was my takeaway from
it. But could they have made,
I wish that it had been turned into a bigger moment if we had six episodes.
Or could they have made it a second season thing? Did she need the suit this season? Can we make
not a bad point?
Can we,
she already had a cool suit. That's true.
Right. Can we just She's a badass. Like, yeah, I don't doubt this suit. I don't. But it's like Marvel has to like, okay, this is the first time we see it. We need him in a suit now. It's like, wait, well, can we just let things just breathe? You know, what if she just, you know, like I would love that, but not in this format. It just felt rushed. It felt very formulaic. It felt very rushed. It didn't feel rushed. Yes, it's a regal, but it still didn't feel different or unique to me. Watching it, it didn't feel like this was unique to this hero, and it felt like just a here's the suit, you know how this goes, you know, and that's unfortunate, because for it to be such a meaningful part of their culture, I feel like it should have felt different as a viewer.
You know what I especially would have loved?
Yeah.
And if this was a 6-episode series, we might have gotten that.
You are hung up on that. Yes,
I'm so hung up on that. You gotta
take a shot every time Keith says 6 episodes. Yes.
It just made me think like, okay, so at the very end of this episode, I'm skipping ahead, I know, but at the very end of this episode, we have like a montage with zero dialogue where they're all just hanging out at a barbecue or an outside dinner where they get together as a family. And that seemed skipped. That seemed rushed. And what we could have gotten was maybe a speaking moment between Maya and Chula where Chula explained that Taloa came to visit her, because she does see the ancestors as well. She does see the family visions as well. So why wouldn't she have been visited by Taloa before making the suit and having a moment with her daughter? Because they're right now they're like it's like a door and a frame with a missing hinge, and Taloa is the reason why they're so disconnected, because there is a missing part in their generations and taken away from them so soon and so out of nowhere.
So really so cool way to put it.
It would have been nice to see them bond over both being visited by Taloa, and that's a part I wish.
She was captured because she gave Kingpin the whole thing, like, hey, you know, my granddaughter, she's something special.
But at the end of the episode, I wouldn't have wanted to see it before that. It just would have been nice to see before their hug and before her like embrace of her.
They both are visited.
Moment.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Just say like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took this as, and this is partially my ignorance of the Choctaw culture.
Yeah.
I thought this scene was a little bit cheesy, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I was bawling, absolutely bawling. Like it was.
Did you like the part where they pointed out like the different traits that she gets from each ancestor? I really liked that.
Again, I thought it was a little bit cheesy, but I really liked it. Like, like the strategy from
Loak, the stickball player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and just like the way that they pointed it all out was like, I ate it up. I loved it.
Yeah,
It was a little bit like, here is exactly what it is. I was like, thank you. I can only eat with one hand.
So. So we switch over to, I did make a note here about the heartbeat synchronized with the drum beat. I thought that was pretty cool. Let's do this. Keep your eye out for Maya Lopez. We see the goons. They pull in. All right, let's keep an eye out for Maya Lopez. I'm like, okay, this is setting something up. Here we go. Once again, I saw the episode linked when I hit play. That's also kind of the thing that kind of bumps me out about Disney Plus. Like, as soon as I hit play, it's like 36 minutes. I'm like, fuck, that's too short. Anyway, it's not the show's fault. Just something I know right away. I'm like, this is. And then when this was happening, I was like, God, there's no way. There's no way you can even have this be anything impactful at all. And I was right. Sorry, I am being bitter. But it really was just like, you know, we see the Maya and Fisk. They have a stare down and talks about, you know her family's legacy, talks about her family's legacy, and now I know how much it'll hurt you when I kill the rest of your family. You're like, just it. Fisk felt very okay. Let's do generic Marvel villain that can be thrown away. Give him throwaway line one. Okay, this was a bummer to me. This was like, oh, there's her entire family that's captured. Fisk, I can't see Kingpin just, here, I've got these people and I'm going to do bad things. I'm Fisk. It's like, no, I did bad things. Now what are you going to do? You shouldn't have, you know, I feel like he, for someone we saw in such a ruthless manner, who you set up with that guy who just gave shit to a little girl over ice cream, this person has really put you through the ringer, and you're like, hey, I got your family. Now I'm going to destroy him. Like, it's like, what? just, I don't think they nerfed Fisk. I think they literally did nothing with Fisk. That was my early critique, and I'm just going to say it again, because I didn't feel like this was the Kingpin that we have really grown to know and enjoy from the Daredevil series. You can't say, well, Daredevil's canon, and then have this character that just feels so disconnected from that series that we saw. It doesn't feel like the same character. It literally felt like this. I didn't like it.
But not all of us have seen that character or that show.
I'm telling you right now, Amy, this is a disappointment. And you're going to see a much better version of it. I'm just saying.
Okay. I can't wait for Keith and I to watch that show while you're on paternity leave.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. It is going to be wonderful. Why can't we have consistency?
Who needs consistency?
Fuck you. You asshole. I do actually have a point here. Oh, I thought you were doing that. I thought that was just a little jab and then a walk away. All right. Anyway, sorry.
Throw a grenade and fuck everybody.
Iron Man 1, just the blast in the back as you walk away. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, cool dun, guys, dun. Don't look at explosions. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. All right, sorry, we go on.
No, I was gonna say, so I watched Screen Crush, just because I like to see what they think, especially compared to the Daredevil show that I've not seen and this show. And they made a good point that it is possible that Marvel wanted a discrepancy between the two, that Daredevil isn't completely, like, yes, it is now canon technically, but Marvel can also say, but that's a different universe. And so like the hammer discrepancy in the last episode could be due to that. And this episode, they pointed out that the White Wall in the Daredevil show, when Kingpin is a kid, is in the living room, I think they said. But in this show, it was in his bedroom. The hammer was on the table in the show. And in this show, it was underneath of his mattress. Like, there's discrepancies that they could say the same things happen, but it's a different kind of course of events.
And I think that's a very great point, and I love that point, Emmy. Why would you make this
Screen Crush? Very good point, Screen Crush.
Sorry, Screen Crush. Great job, Screen Crush. But why would you make this other Kingpin suck so much more? Like, if you're going to take liberties to make him a different Kingpin,
hey, there's nothing wrong with being gay.
I never said anything about that, Emmy. Do not make me, like, literally one-star reviews over and over. Brandon hates people that are not. Anyway.
He said he sucked.
No. Genuinely, why would you, being a different version of Kingpin, having a different story or kind of the same story, but also a different, why would you make one that just feels so damn generic? That's my frustration. It doesn't have to be the same Kingpin, but don't make it a boring and bland Kingpin. Don't make it a Marvel villain one here. It didn't feel... I'm telling... Keith, if I took out Kingpin and inserted any other villain there, would you have known, oh, this was... You know what I mean? Would it have felt any different? Like, Kingpin being there doesn't make it Kingpin, I guess is my point. It feels just like another villain. We could have had any villain in that place. It didn't have to be Kingpin.
And Hela.
Who I went to as well. I was thinking Hela for some reason.
Yeah.
Loki. When he said any other Marvel villain, it was like Hela.
Yeah. I guess my whole point is, like, insert any Marvel bad guy here, and it would have been the same exact story. You know, Kingpin didn't feel original or fresh. It felt like they were just using it for, like, hey, it's Kingpin. You know, just a... It didn't,
agreed.
You know? And that's frustrating. That is so damn frustrating.
I get it. What I would say in your question to me, the Kingpin that we've gotten, the Vincent D'Onofrio, in the MCU so far, has been barely the last episode of Hawkeye. And this few times we've seen him in Echo. So anybody who's seen the Daredevil version knows what he has to offer, knows how scary he is, know how good Vincent D'Onofrio is.
And they can three kinda, seasons.
And, yeah, to build off.
We've just seen this dude get shot and I'm gonna hurt your family, and that's it.
Exactly, and it's this other guy. It doesn't feel like Kingpin. What they did focus on more was his love for Maya, his weird, weird relationship of love for Maya, and how they have a language of violence, and how he's not really willing to learn ASL about it because of the love for her, but he has very calm. Complicated feelings about how he does care about her. So it is a weird thing to grasp and to wrap your head around, especially because Maya herself is a relatively brand new character for us. So yeah, I agree with you. It doesn't feel like Kingpin. I get it. What I was, and this came from somebody kind of ruining it for me on I think it was Facebook or something. It was the complaint about, oh, she healed Kingpin's brain and now he's not the Kingpin we want or need or love or liked from the past. To me, I was very scared that it was going to be a very cringy moment where she heals him and shows the flashbacks and the abusive father situation he's in. And what created this villain, his origin point. I thought it was going to be a lot more cringy than it was. And, you know, the idea
I was going to say that what
you could just do this.
Yeah. What you just described, I thought happened. Did it not? What?
That did happen.
Okay.
But when I heard what people were complaining about, they're like, oh, this isn't even the Kingpin we love, or you know, he'd be way more ruthless than this. And they made him this crying baby. Like I imagined him like in a high chair at his family table, like crying like a baby. And I was like scared that that's what we were going to see. But instead we saw her intervening in this formative moment where he was going to go out and attack and kill his father. And I was very glad that is what we got, a very tame version of what it could have been, what my imagination was running with anyways.
But then his desperation
after she did that, grabbing her hand and saying, what did you do? What did you do? He doesn't understand a single thing that he just experienced. He has no fucking clue, but he's going to go back to New York and he's going to play the long con.
So I've got a question and I could have missed something here. So she stops him before he kills his father. So
right. This
is could be me where I fell asleep in the show and I missed something and I apologize. So the abuse for years kept going?
No, she went back to a formative moment in him. And it's up to interpretation, open to interpretation.
That's my interpretation of events is this guy is hurting his mother. And instead of him intervening, he has to endure years more of abuse of his father hurting his mother. What does that do to someone's psyche, and how is that okay?
I think what she did, if anything, was tame a part of him that was obsessed with fathering her and making their language violence and continuing on with that obsession of you have to come back with me or else. And it just kind of stopped his obsession with her by going back to that moment and going, hey, you're fucked up because of this moment. Rethink your choices. You know, here's a bit of a bomb.
So that didn't change what happened.
A Band-Aid. I don't think it changed what happened. I don't think that she has the ability. I don't think it's a time travel thing.
Okay.
Reflective moment. Like an echo. It's a reflection. Like a ripple in a river.
Like a liquid. Like a liquid echo.
Okay. That helps me. That helps me a lot.
Yeah,
it's still kind of hard, though, to kind of see the point then. It's like, hey, you know, you're not changing anything. Are you? You're just bringing light to it in a very real way. Like, hey, this was the moment, but it's still like, I don't know. I guess I don't understand. And that's okay. At this point, I don't like, hey, remember this? This was kind of fucked up and crazy, right? Yeah. Yeah. What'd you do? Bye. Like, it's like, wait, what? like, that's how I feel about this. Like, I just, like, I'm kind of in Kingpin's, like, what'd you do? What happened? Like, does Marvel?
I think what it was a gamble of do we make the show more about Fisk or do we make it more about Maya? And in that moment, they chose Maya. They showed her using her powers and projecting them out to anybody in her bloodline and in her family. And they all got powers. And it was like they had the double strength of two people and the skills of her ancestors. It was so cool. And yet, if they made it more about Fisk, those Kingpin fans especially would be satiated, sure, but I'm sure there's a ton of Fisk coming up in Daredevil Born Again, and mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get that, but without that knowledge, and I'm not saying you don't have that because I know you've seen some of the Daredevil show, I'd say for the majority they're thinking, oh, if people haven't seen it, we're just going to rush through this Fisk thing and make this show about Maya, where it should, yeah, it is underserving to the Kingpin character, but it's because the show's about her instead.
I think it's so also
it's a lot of, again, a 6-episode arc might have probably explained whatever.
Take a shot. Take a shot. I know it's not about, I understand the episode is called Echo, but I also watched a movie that was Captain America Civil War, and it was all about Iron Man being a bitch. Anyway, so
how dare you?
So anyway, the whole point is this whole thing bitch. Built up to Fisk and Maya. Yes, it can be called Echo. I get it, but it just feels like, hey, let's get them both here, both here, both here. Okay, that's Fisk. Now we got Maya. It's like, wait, what? Let's
get him to go home.
Right. Like, I mean,
he's packing up his things and going home.
Exactly. And I mean, you're not really serving the antagonist of this story by just, but it's Echo. Like, I feel like it's more of a cop out. I feel like you kind of just went towards, hey, let's just focus in on this. I am being critical. Because how do you, one, you did enough to include him in your series and say he is a focal point for so long. And then when it actually matters to tell a relevant story, then you're like, no, it's Echo. It's Maya. It's like, wait, what? No, then don't. Why did you bring us along here anyway for us to be thrown to the side? And, you know, like I was invested somewhat in it. And then it's like, this is Maya's story now. It's like,
I want to hear what Emmy has to say first, because I've got something after that I think will annoy you.
not more than this show. Sorry.
Why are we going to throw him away? Because fuck the patriarchy. But I do. There were serious questions whenever he was getting in the car and he was just leaving, and it was like, what?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't understand.
Like it was that was the moment where I was like, oh. That the Twilight fight wasn't real. Like, you guys aren't going to, like, actually, like, do anything. You're not going to, you're done trying to kill her. Like,
they blue balls us twice for this. Blue balls us twice. Tell me.
Oh, come on. That wink from Henry when he shot Zane while he was about to shoot the rocket launcher. Goddamn, that was cool.
You know what? He's like, Henry's kind of fucking hot. I think he's fucking fine.
If I go back and watch the episode and his sleeves are rolled up, I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done. I know that's your criteria, Emmy.
You want to hear the annoying thing?
He might be.
Gonna annoy you?
Well, no, I'm sorry. Real quick. I was going to say, okay, I felt such an ick from people walking into such a joyous celebration with guns. Mm. Like, I just felt such an ick from that. And then for the resolution of that, it was like there was no urgency in this. You could have waited until after the celebration was done and just gone after Maya. You didn't have to like put other civilians in the firing line at all in any way, shape, or form when they were celebrating and having this powwow. And just for that to be the ending of it, I was just like,
yeah, I appreciate it.
It's not that I wanted. Not that I wanted something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. It raised the stakes and then was a matter like, just like, oh, no, they're gone.
Maybe you didn't.
At the barbecue.
Maybe you didn't want something to happen, but maybe you expected more to happen.
Yeah. Sorry. Keith, go ahead.
Keith, annoy me.
You ready?
Yes.
Yes. Please annoy Brandon, because I don't like how much he's agreeing with me this episode.
That's is it off-putting? The you mentioned that the main antagonist felt underserved because of this decision to just have Fisk just kind of a up and leave. And his all of his men have been defeated at this point. He's got like one guy left, and that guy is encouraging him to get in the car and get the fuck out of here before something worse happens. But I would argue that the main antagonist of this show is not Kingpin.
The Maybe
main, okay. main antagonist
I'm in,
of this
I'm
show
in, I'm in. Let's
is Maya's choice to be good or evil. And her choice is represented by Kingpin and the offer that he gives her to come back with him. And her choice and her fighting against the idea that she could just be Queenpin and take the easy
regardless,
route.
Regardless. Regardless. If whoever's the
bigger antagonist. Self versus self conflict.
Whoever, regardless of
what we call it in English language arts.
Regardless of who's the antagonist or who's not the antagonist, Kingpin felt lame as fuck. And I don't care who he's antagonizing. I don't care what the fuck he's doing. Both times. Oh, we're getting it. And it just, I just think out of everything I was looking forward to that not once, but twice. And literally it felt very Iron Man 3-ish with Trevor Slattery, you know, I'm an actor. It just felt very, let's swerve, you know, like, and it just felt, and I was very disappointed with that movie as well because of that. Cause the trailer I saw was not the movie I saw. If you gave me a,
yes,
you know, and so,
yeah.
Same with what Emmy's critique was earlier in this is I felt from that trailer a little bit, I didn't get everything I was promised. And I felt like, I mean, watch the trailer again. Watch the end of episode one. I really think if you watch episode one and that trailer after episode one, and then you watch the show, you're like, what? I mean, all this shit was kind of inconsequential that they showed was the big shit, you know? Like,
yeah.
The stuff that
it
felt
like a trailer that was trying to sell us on a completely different show than what we ended up seeing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's probably the biggest, you know. Anyway, I'm sick
Kevin
of
Feige. You smell like beef and cheese. You sit on a throne of lies. How do you sleep at night?
You heard Emmy. Allegedly, he smells like beef and cheese. We're not entirely sure, but
allegedly, I was quoting Elf.
I know, but he's you know, he could really smell like that. I just don't know.
He looks like he does. Allegedly.
Allegedly looks like he smells.
Burn! And,
so just getting back to the notes, because we have kind of strayed away just for a little bit, but we see the ancestors, and we see Chula, Bonnie. They start taking out goons left and right, because, you know, why not? Henry shoots one, you know, fireworks. I know you like
all right, badass.
The guy who killed Vicky in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy who used to clean his skates.
That's true. That's true.
That was his little arc.
And then we see, this is my notes, energy humming over his eye, wall thuds. I'm sorry. My notes crack me up sometimes. Let go of the pain. You are my uncle. Shut him out. And I'm not who you want me to be. And give it to me, please. What did you do? And we see Fisk get driven away. That's sorry, Emmy. I'm sorry. My notes aren't that great. I apologize. And the woodpecker.
It was just a phrase. Give it to me, please.
You're welcome. Maybe I should have put that in my notes.
I am a middle schooler.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Emmy, fuck off. I'm apologizing. And then I'm like, no, I don't, you know, fuck you. You're immature. yeah. Anyway, before we see the woodpecker released, anything else to add to that beautiful scene of Kingpin just driving away?
I have so much that I feel like I haven't covered yet.
Yeah.
This whole powwow was such a very cool representation of culture. It was so interesting to see there. Thank you, Keith, for teaching me regalia. And it was different regalia for different tribes and different, like, it was like you could see differences in each, but just the authenticity of it was cool. And the fact that when you first see the powwow, they did focus in on like the moccasins and like different aspects of it and different. It was just really cool. I really, really loved that. I'm excited to see the making of, and I hope that they have parts of that in it.
I think Keith already may have a little bit. Yeah.
Can I tell you one thing that I've learned from the assembled that's really fucking cool?
Of course.
No, spoilers.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
They realized after trying to stage that episode and stage everything, they're like, we just need to throw an actual powwow. And they threw one. and did it, said, okay, we want everyone to meet in Georgia. Can you guys meet? It'll be the first powwow ever of the MCU. And they have this amazing moment where at the end of everything, the cast, the crew, everybody could just, they were able to just relax at the end of shooting and just join the actual powwow. And real vendors, real food, real dances, real entertainment.
Oh, that's,
it was so
awesome.
Cool. And that's the best way to get their shots. It's perfect. Yeah, it was so cool. That was a huge part of the making of. But yeah, a part of me did want Maya to sneak into the powwow and have to take out a guy here, a guy there, without disrupting the events. That would have been cool as shit. Instead of going to the barn and having all of it happen in there, it would have been really cool. But I think it's probably because they were having an actual event happen and they couldn't, so they had to shoot those scenes. And my expectations were at a certain place when I saw that they were going to the big powwow at the end at the end of the season. But yeah, they threw an actual powwow. It was cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see that.
Sorry, Amigo.
Whenever they do an overhead shot of the dancing, they do a spiral.
Yes. Oh, that looked cool. That looked really cool.
Indicative of
the ripples in the water for Echo. Yes.
The liquid. Yep. The liquid echoes.
You're welcome.
No. Well, but from the first episode when.
I'm just joking. Yeah. But yeah.
You've grown so much, Brandon, from this just one episode.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Keith. Thank you for noticing my growth.
The main guy, the guy who looks like NPH with like a prosthetic on. He is wearing a shirt that says Tamaha is okay, which Tamaha is in Oklahoma. And I thought that was clever. Do you guys realize that bad guys can't use Apple, but they can use Yeti?
Oh, no.
To store missiles.
Oh, my goodness.
So you heard it here first. Yeti supports background goons.
Yeah, well, allegedly per this show. You know, did you notice that? Well, actually, I mean, you missed something. Thanos, right before he snapped his finger, he was drinking out of a Yeti little, yeah. I don't know if you caught that, but.
A Yeti tumbler?
He was.
Pour one out.
He sure was. He was pouring one out for the half of humanity homies.
Half of humanity homies. I like the way you said that.
Keep in mind, sober tonight. Sober. This is just sleep deprivation. Sorry.
Me too.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Keith.
The scene where he's admitting that he killed her father. The scene where Donnie come over and interpret everything he's saying because he doesn't want to fucking learn ASL. It was very cool to get an extended scene of the sound cutting out, the sound design cutting out and everything, and
we're
getting everything he's actually wanted to, or you know, hiding, just all coming out through Bonnie having to interpret. I thought that was cool. It's the most Bonnie's played, the biggest part Bonnie's played in this whole season, which annoys me. Again, they really set us up to think that Bonnie was a big character in that first episode, tearing her away from her childhood best friend. But that part I enjoyed.
Yeah, that was one of my notes too. Like the silence and having to use an interpreter to communicate again. And honestly, in the last episode, they were shooting interpreters. And so when Bonnie was interpreting, I was like, oh, fuck, damn it.
Don't do it. Don't interpret.
Yeah.
Don't you know he doesn't like those?
Right?
Yeah.
Bless him. But Fisk lives. He lives for the drama. He is a diva through and through. When Maya walks in, first of all, the fact that she's walking down that barn and the lights come on one at a time, like that is drama. That is extra. That's too much.
To the music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I agree. That annoyed me a little bit.
And then he comes around the corner and then the lights come on in what, like the stables to show that he's got Chula and Bonnie.
That was like Batman Forever Riddler.
Yes, and again, again, who the fuck at Marvel's like, you know what would be cool right now?
Who choreographed that?
Who the fuck? What?
In the show universe, Fisk was like, all right, and then I'm going to come around the corner and I'm going to do this and you turn on the lights.
Oh yeah, my gosh, you have my family. Oh my God, you've only been hinting at it this entire...
Yeah, but you didn't know I'd do that light trick, did you?
You know, yeah. Oh, sorry.
I really think you're under... appreciating my light show.
Maya, I know you are curious where your family is. Flick. They're right here.
If he just had a light switch next to him, still pretty cool, but kind of lame.
I brought my own blue bulbs.
So,
Alexa, turn on the lights, install 1 and 2.
Hold on. I have to go.
Alexa.
Hold on. I have to go to my Casa app and turn on the lights. Give me 1 second. Here it is. Click.
It's in my left contact, so I have to blink 18 times. No more, no less.
Your family's right here. Did you see when I turned the lights on? Now they're behind me. Do you see what I'm saying, Maya?
It would be pretty cool for Maya, because she wouldn't hear the mistakes.
Yeah. Maya's just like...
She wouldn't hear the cue. She'd be he's magic.
Did they ever show Maya after that moment? Did Maya was like, the fuck? Like, did she...
They had to cut it down for time.
Dr. Strange is here?
What the fuck?
That would have been in episode 6.
Take a drink. Yeah. Take a drink. unless you're driving, don't do that. But
This was amazing. Emmy, do you have any more notes about the lights? Or
not about the lights.
Okay.
All right. Y'all are a couple of Nahulos. I punched my mic. Sorry about it. Do we know what Nahulos are? or did we catch up on it with context?
White peeps.
White people.
We are white people. White people taco night. Anyway, sorry.
And it can be used in a loving way. But I feel like for the most part, it is not and should probably not be.
Well, no. If you are, you can be a decent human being and still, you know, have... You know, you don't have to just, well, it's bad, you know? So
Yeah, that's true. Well, it depends on, just like if I were to call you, I don't know, a slut, it depends on the context.
Just for the record, every time I call you a slut, Emmy, I mean it with the worst context possible.
Okay, well, that's not how I hear it, so I'd quit if I were you.
Fuck. All right, sorry, Emmy, go on.
Okay, I thought the ancestors coming through, all three of them, I know, Brandon, I think you had some issues with it. I thought it was fucking badass. I loved it, and I loved seeing the ancestors all lined up behind Maya.
I did like it. I don't think I had an issue with this, actually. I mean, I didn't like how they set it up, but I did like this. Yeah, I would.
Like the actual scene.
Correct.
And like the actual, like it was just cool. And like Bonnie kept just like looking at her hands like, the fuck is happening?
Well, that's another thing. Like, I love the ancestors being, I thought that was awesome. But then Bonnie just, again, being the clueless, like, these characters feel so 2D. You know what I mean? They just feel like all of a sudden just, I'm background. How do I, you know, it just, like, Bonnie felt like so much in episode 1, felt like could be so much throughout the series, and just was just regulated to, I'm just going to be captive here. I'm just going to shut up here, and I'm going to stare at my hands here. Yeah. That's the stuff that annoys me. I love the ancestors. I love the story behind that. I love what they did even to set that up. I thought it was pretty cool. And then behind is Bonnie going, right? Like, it's like, God damn it. Can I just like something? Can you just not give me something that annoys me? Even like, I find joy in one thing and then I see Bonnie and I'm like, why is she a dumbass? Why? Why? She's so cool.
Okay.
Why is she?
All right. Fuck you. Counterpoint. All right.
Please. Ooh. Please.
I enjoyed that because Bonnie is an EMT, right? Mm-hmm. So she's also kind of a healer. And I don't think that she's ever seen her hands. Fire person. She does something to help people. I don't think that she's ever seen her hands do damage. And I kind of enjoyed that she was like, the fuck am I doing? Like, usually I use these to help people. And right now I am punching the living daylights out of these background goons.
I just feel someone who's two dimensional, who's just literally like, I just like, come on now.
I think there was a scene planned in episode 6 Bonnie exploring more so the fact that her hands had only healed people. and never hurt people. So.
We want episode 6. Make it trend on Twitter. Yeah. All three of you that listen and on that actually still have a Twitter, because no one has a Twitter anymore. Jesus. Why do we still have a Twitter? Can we get rid of our Twitter?
I want the Sydney Freeland cut. Yeah. That's what we're going to talk about on Reddit.
Okay, that was a little bit harsh, Emmy. You're right. I apologize. But I just, once again, characters that feel underdeveloped, I wanted more. Maybe if we had an episode 6, we would have seen more. So I apologize. I just, once again, have expectations on who Chula and Bonnie could have been, and just to see them being like, I'm proud of my granddaughter, and I'm going to stare at my hands. I'm like, it's a letdown for me personally. No, she's not dumb, but I guess I expect more from a character, and I shouldn't. You're right. I should have lower expectations.
Oh, and now I forgot my second point. Go ahead, Keith. I'm gonna remember it.
Well, I was gonna talk about something more broad about the series in general, but you want me to go ahead and you'll remember it?
I already remembered it.
Okay, go for it.
The ancestor shot. Whenever all the ancestors are behind Maya.
Badass.
Okay. Yep. All right. That answers my question. We don't even have to fight about it.
No, I told you I liked it.
I know. Well, okay.
Do you want me to what were you going to, what would you think I was going to say?
No, I didn't think that you guys were going to go any which way, but
yeah,
all the ancestors are female. We've seen female team ups before. Endgame was one that we had differing thoughts about.
An ancestral lineage is not everyone on a battlefield being a certain gender and let me pan to this and then have it. She's not alone. There's pandering. Yeah.
Okay.
And to me, there's earned. Once again,
yes.
Watch Infinity War. There is a moment with Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, and, you know, Okoye that feels fucking awesome. And yeah. I like that. I am not against any of that. Just don't force feed it. Yes. Earn it.
Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly that this was 100% earned.
This was earned.
But but you could argue that Maya doesn't just have female ancestors. She's also got male ancestors. I mean,
but this show showed us these ancestors, taught us the meaning of these ancestors.
Why didn't it show us any male ancestors? I'm talking about the MCU, right? Oh, you thumbs up that.
You are going to start shit. Don't start shit. There will be no shit. No, I know.
I'm
interwove it into the story beautifully. And I liked it.
No, I completely
and that's
agree.
What makes this work. They did not set up these women superheroes together in any sort of fashion. Then they all just suddenly are just landing next to each other and like, fuck yeah.
Do you have a vagina? Yeah. I've got one too. Oh my God. I have a vagina too.
Pussy power. Let's do it. It's like, wait, what? Yes. No, you can.
How do you shave your pubes?
Oh my gosh. You have pubes? I'm an alien. I don't have pubes. You know, like I have tentacles down there. Like what?
Oh, we can't team up anymore.
Yeah, it ain't cool. But like, I don't know.
This is a pubes only girl group.
Yeah. No, to me, I liked it. In game, fucking dumb.
I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't think that initially, but just like, I don't know, just thinking about it now.
Thinking of how much I'm critiquing the show, you're like, hey, he's going
to hate
this.
You were ready for someone to have a problem with it, regardless if it was Brandon.
No. I didn't think that I'm glad that you guys, that none of you had a problem with it. I just think of the picture that we've landed on, I think, for social media posts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about it and I was like, oh, that looks familiar. Oh, but yeah, no, this one was earned. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Too, like this show being about a female lead as well is like, definitely we're going to celebrate that. Like, and to my understanding in a lot of the Choctaw and other indigenous cultures, they do celebrate their women quite a bit as the, you know, they do so much and it's like, why ignore that? So it felt a lot more organic than the moment in Endgame where it's just like, oh, we didn't pander to women enough. Let's force this.
Hey, Russos, can you put that one scene that we kind of left on the cutting room floor? They're like, I'd like to put that one in there just so we can make sure. Hey.
Yeah. Did women know that they were in this movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure they know there were women in this.
By putting
them all in one place, very recognizable.
To me, that does more to separate and to alienate. And it also does harm to that, to me, in some way. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I view it. I feel like, you know, like, they're... You think you're doing something magical and special. Look at all in one place. And some people feel that way. And to you, hey, I'm happy. For me, it separates, alienates, which has been the problem all along. It should never be that. It should be, we are, hey, eye to eye, equal to equal. You are my partner. Mm-hmm. You are my sister. You are, you know what I mean? That's what I see. And to me, Emmy and I, we're on a battlefield together. And she is there with me right here, right in line. She's not going to be over there. No, Emmy's a slut, actually a little bit below. But like, I just, but here's the thing. But that's how I see Emmy. And that's how I see all the women in my life. They are with me. We are one. We are equal. When they're all separated off and like, she's not alone. It's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? We're doing that thing. I'm saying they should not be, you know, I don't know. I just, that's my opinion. That may be controversial. I'm sorry. But I just feel like it, when you're separating,
it needs to be equal. Yeah.
Are we doing
separate, what, but equal is not equal.
Exactly.
That was what they said during Brown versus Board of Education, right, back during segregation of schools.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that. No. And it's like, look, they're over here. You know, I don't know.
Look at all those vaginas.
Look, one has tentacle pubes. Fuck.
One of the things I think we all agree on about this show is the fascination we have with the echo part of, you know, the generations all echoing down, and how each episode featured a different backstory to a different character, to the point where it was so seamless and so organic that I didn't even think about the gender part. I personally did not think about that at all.
And that's where I think we need
brought
to
up the comparison of Endgame.
Do you not have a vagina?
I didn't
notice that until just now. Sorry.
But no, I was... And I won't focus on this too much because it is a bit of a downer, but I promise it's not that much of a downer for me. But I relate it huge to the idea of lost family members living on through us. It's a huge comfort to me, which I was raised very atheist, and the most atheist person in our family was my dad. I lost my dad when I was 20 years old. However, I do believe that he lives through me, and he, whether it be his opinions he would have on certain things, or his laugh, or like things he would just find really fun or amusing, like I love the idea of the instincts of my, you know, past family members echoing through me. It's such a cool idea to wrap your head around, and this show did that so well. Other than representing the deaf community incredibly well, and representing the Choctaw community specifically incredibly well, the show did the echo idea of the ancestors so well, and it rings true in the series as a whole. Again, this episode obviously was a culmination of all these things we've seen, but that part, that through line of the series, was one of its strongest parts for me.
Beautifully said.
That's a really, really good point.
Beautifully
yeah.
said, and completely agree. All right.
Really good point.
Well,
I did it. I cured it. I
that's
healed
it.
Us all.
That's it for the episode. Bam. We got it in there, yep. Man. We ended on a good note. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, Emmy. Chill.
Can't.
Emmy, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. Just a couple of things before we go to Maya shows up at a family gathering, and who's there, Emmy? Biscuits.
Everybody, but
all right. I was going to point out that he has a motherfucking monster truck.
Biscuits does have
a monster
truck.
Can we please talk about how Biscuits is apparently replacing Chula's truck with a fucking monster truck? Is that the plan?
Was that the truck?
Well, I mean, he went to that junkyard. Everything
he went
the light
to the
touches.
Junkyard. Everything the light touches. Okay.
But it's like, is that what you're replacing? Is she going to go deliver mail with a truck she can't even fucking get out of without a cherry picker? What are we doing?
Why is every character dumb?
I had to get super negative.
Why is every character dumb? Why? Why are they all dumb? Like, why did the common sense just leave the fucking town? Why? He was scared shitless of her, and then he's going to put her in a monster truck? What the fuck happened to these characters that felt so...
You're going to love this.
You have to tell me you're not mad at me anymore before you get in the monster truck. You have to promise you're not going to run over me in the monster truck before you get in the monster truck.
Yeah, I'm only sitting in the passenger seat. I ain't letting you have this thing by yourself.
I wanted a TVMA raw real show, and what we got was a couple of deaths and then...
And a monster truck!
Imagine if they just like rated R... Especially that scene where he crushed the two vans full of guys and we could see blood coming out of it.
So for my Star Wars homies, there's a part where Princess Leia says, "Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
My only hope.
Help me, Deadpool 3. You're my only hope."
What other shows are we getting?
X-Men 97. We should be getting
Agatha.
And they've changed the name 500 times. I'm not sure what the end of it is. House of Harkness.
Born
Ultimatum. Born again. Agatha Born Ultimatum. Yes, that's a. But I really.
Agatha for the straight
I
guy.
I guess what I meant by Deadpool 3, help me, Deadpool 3, you're my only hope, is help me, rated R, TVMA. You know, I know technically this is Ryan Reynolds, but this is actually MCU's first rated R movie. And I'm just hoping
that I have faith.
Ryan Reynolds, he has not let me down through two Deadpool movies. I think he's wonderful as Deadpool. I think he's fantastic. I think he just, and him bringing Hugh Jackman back, I think this has all the makings to be a fantastic movie. He made a very heartwarming post on all his social media. I shared it, I think, on our Twitter feed a couple weeks back. Either way, I really do believe Deadpool 3 is going to be great. But I guess what I mean is, like, deliver some mature content that feels just so unlike the MCU. But I'm afraid is, oh, God.
Like Thor, Love, and Grendel. Some mature content.
That's a great point, Amy. Great point. Yes. Well, the credits roll after this little family shindig. I know we probably got more notes, so we'll
turn our expectations to a fucking kebab. That's what I want to see.
That's a good point.
I only have a few more notes, and by a few, I mean all on one hand.
Okay.
Go ahead. Cool. Did you need to finish something up?
No, rapid fire note time, and then we'll get to the post. There are actually post credits in this episode, so.
Yes.
We'll get to those. All right.
So Bonnie has braids because she is a Choctaw warrior now in that barbecue scene.
And you continue to hit your mic.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I did punch my... I didn't call it out that time. I was hoping maybe nobody heard it.
Oh,
it was gentle.
No, that was an audible one. That was probably one of your loudest ones.
Okay. My bad.
All right. It's all good.
Okay. Maya's also smiling in that barbecue scene. I know that we mentioned that we didn't see her smile a whole lot.
Such a great smile
in these series. Yes,
remembered how to smile. I'm so happy this show exists.
What is that? Yeah, fuck you, loser.
I just love.
I meant to do that.
I love that Maya is. That's what I was. As soon as this episode, like this whole. If you listen to me in episode one, the one thing I asked for is, like, I just want Maya to smile at the end of all this.
Ah!
And I'm so glad they got there.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. You hate happiness. You're sad that nobody died.
Give me something different.
I know. He wants you dead, and I don't know why, because you're amazing.
She's talking to her biscuits action figure right now, just by the way. Yeah.
Does the ingredients on the side of that can say Cody Lightning?
Keith, you ruined the illusion. We could have had so many YouTube clicks. My goodness.
Oh, sorry.
We'll edit you out.
Come in.
It is the heat. It says heat.
No. The audio version. Of that portion, Keith, not you entirely. Keith, come back.
I should do the podcast from over here now.
No, 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 no. I meant that one portion of the audio. I meant that's what I meant. Sorry, not you entirely out of the show. Sorry. I should. Yeah, sorry, Amy. More notes. Apologies.
Okay, just three more. All right. The song at the end is fantastic.
Yeah.
Very, it was very the cool song. Same song if I'm not mistaken, it's the same song that they sing at the end of the episode when it's the hymn called When We Remain. Mm-hmm. And I was going to look it up. I did not end up having time. I will have the name for you next week. That artist does that. That song is a bop.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Do not know the words. It is not in a language I know, but like,
When We Remain, like, by Samantha Crane, yes, appears twice in the Echo series.
Oh, twice.
Yeah.
So we've heard it before. That's why I like it so much.
Mm-hmm. It's catchy.
Well, that's not only why I like it so much, but like, it was like familiar. Loved. I thought I had another just amazing, fantastic thought.
So humble.
I think trains were a running theme in this show. I'm not sure what it means, but they were.
Explain.
We're going to be here for another 30 minutes.
Don't explain.
No. Give me high level. How the fuck are trains a running theme in this show?
Okay.
I don't want a 5-page essay.
Fucking, no, not a 5-page essay.
What track you're going down, Brandon.
I just, fuck off, Keith.
The one thing you do know about a train.
Yeah.
All right. So she puts the boom boom on the train with biscuits. Right.
I remember that very well.
The train blows up.
Yep.
Yep.
There's the train scene. That's the train.
That's the sure. That's train. No argument. That one train, episode one. Got it.
She goes over train tracks to get to her family at the end of episode 5.
So a train. Keith, don't give it. I live in an area, and I've asked Emmy this before. You had to cross train tracks to get to my house, didn't you, Emmy?
Mm-hmm.
Does and guess what? A train runs through those train tracks. That's how trains work.
Yeah, I know. I saw its tracks.
That doesn't mean my whole life revolves around fucking trains, nor does it mean this show revolves around trains.
Like, okay, hey, I wasn't done yet.
Okay, all right, sorry. There's more trains. We saw tracks, and we saw a train, and?
I thought at the beginning of the first episode, I thought they were coming up onto train tracks, but I think I've since talked myself out of it. It was a crossroad. Wasn't it?
I swear.
Also very symbolic.
Shut the fuck up, Keith. I swear to God. I don't know if you're fucking with me to extend this recording just to dick with me and give me no sleep tonight, or if you're just, I don't know right now. I feel like it's I'm not in a time just me. Warp.
I truly thought I had something there, and like something about like the fact that trains are nomadic.
What?
What the fuck?
That trains move around a lot, and that like Maya is looking for a home, just like
the Emmy. It's not there. Fuck off! You're not as in like.
Keith, All right, Keith.
I swear, if you
can I bring this home?
No, because you're gonna do that. You know why she's saying yes?
Please bring this home.
I'm not gonna yes and you, Emmy. But I'm also not going to yes, no you. Or no and you, or whatever.
I'm going to fuck no you. It is not. It's a fuck no. It has nothing to do with trains. No,
at the beginning of this episode, the first time I watched it, at the beginning of this episode, I was like, man, they sure are shooting a lot of shots of Maya driving her motorcycle around Tamaha. I almost called it Tamaha. I don't want to stop calling it that. It's Tamaha. So she's driving her motorcycle around Tamaha a lot, trying to decide whether or not to leave. She sees the woodpecker, she goes to the diner, the rocks on, whatever, and she decides to stay and fight. And then at the end, she's driving her motorcycle around a lot. You don't know whether or not it is about her leaving after this, you know, maybe she's worried that she's more of a danger to these people than she's good. And then she goes to the cookout. That I liked the parallel, the bookend of the episode is seeing her drive around the actual town that they shot in Oklahoma and have her drive around. That's one of the things I feel would have maybe been served better if there were 6 episodes. And the fact that we didn't get that, and you know, maybe they could have had her driving around at the beginning of episode 1, and then you know what I'm saying? But yeah,
it's, yeah, just driving around just no like trains. A train. No, that's a good point. That's a good point, and my point is stupid.
We have two more points. Sorry. We have two more points that. Of Emmy. One more. That was a combined two, I Ooh. Guess. Or you hit skipped it. One.
What's that last
point? I don't. I.
Amy.
I don't know. Maybe I combined them. I don't know. Billy Jack is named after. Yes. And I realized it. I'm pretty sure that just based on you watching Reservoir Dogs.
Reservation Dogs.
Reservation Dogs.
A spinoff. A play on the name Reservoir Dogs for sure.
Yes.
Yes.
You watching that and you talking about it. There's a character in that
Willie Jack.
Named Willie Jack.
Yeah.
Is that yeah. not a...
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. I think it is. I'm calling it out as it is. Also, if if you're playing a drinking game, I hope you bought a 40. And not one of those wimpy little...
Make sure your home's safe and sound before playing.
And safe and sound.
So
don't get on a train or something.
We see after the credits that there's Kingpin just sitting around, you know, talking about, hey, we need to stabilize the situation before it gets out of control. So wait, so the events, did it matter? Did it not? We still don't fucking know because he's just talking like we need to stabilize it. Well, why didn't you? What? So who?
He was on a passion project.
Cool. Voters want someone who's a fighter. They want someone who knows the pain and frustration they're going through. An outsider. Is that candidate even out there? It could be anybody. Who the fuck?
A brawler.
Who the fuck wrote this? Who the fuck was like, hey.
Oh.
Anyone?
CNN.
I love that they're like, literally, is there anyone that's going to run for office? All we want is someone.
Could he be listening right now on a train? I mean, a plane?
And he, and like, I just, it just was like, God, I don't know if my taste buds have changed over time and now I like broccoli or I don't like broccoli. I don't know. Or
no,
if this,
broccoli is farts.
But I just don't understand, like, where it's like, I don't, I want to go back to watch phase 1, 2, and 3 of the MCU because I can't tell. Has the MCU just been this writing is just so, lack of better words, lazy at times? Or is it just my tastes have changed and it's always been this lazy? Or Marvel just is super lazy now? Or what is it? But it's just like,
you're a crotchety old man.
But it's literally like, hey, like, who? What kind of newscast says we don't have a candidate because we don't have a fighter? Man, is there anyone out there that could fight? Is there anyone that's that's gonna come out? Like, just I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. It's like they're forcing this. I just think there's a better way to get this end result of what they're trying to do than this. It just I can think I feel like Marvel they just. This is still the tail end of the problem. This is like where they cranked out a bunch of shows, and I apologize. Here we go on a big rant. But like, I feel like this once again, if we go back to a movie or show every, you know, 4 or 5 months and really develop these shows or movies every 4 or 5 months, as opposed to here's 20 of them, and we're going to go back to back to back to back to back to back to back. Hope you like it. It just, because this, it just, someone's working and they're like, oh, just fucking have someone on a newscast talk about, hey, we need a fucking mayor and like, who's going to step up and let's just get it out there. And oh yeah, that sounds good. Okay. I don't know. Everything about the show, I'm done. Join us next week at twitch.tv/AvengersPodcast. If you want to yell at Brandon for being such a wet blanket.
Ooh, me. I want to do that. Sorry. No, I was a wet blanket for What If. So I can't be that mean.
This is just lazy, man.
But, okay, you're saying that writing was not great. And I was thinking, oh, shit, that's a little close to home. And I think I've heard that in the last few years. And, bleh.
I don't think they ever said, who is going to run? Is
no,
there anyone that can help us? Is he a
they didn't
fighter?
Say that. But, like, the whole, They don't want politicians. They want somebody outside. That little bit was like,
okay, yeah. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
Like that's too, it wasn't that it was written.
But the way,
it was that it was real life and put into a Marvel movie. And I was like, no, no, God, no.
The way that Kingpin though, just stares at the TV and he just gets closer and he's like,
could it be me?
It's just like,
are they talking to me? Am I the main character of this story?
Hold on a second. Instead of stabilizing a situation, I think I might just run for office. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man. What if he, like, ended the last line in that scene was just like, what kind of bulk deal can we get on buttons?
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I would have shit. I would have loved that.
So I can shake hands and kiss babies, right? And be a candidate for the, yeah.
Hi, he would crush babies. Not on purpose. He would, like,
with my lips.
Like, from my men.
Kissing them to death. Babies. sorry. I got dark.
I feel like, though, that the fact that he immediately is like, we have to call all of the people who are still, what is, he calls them heads, right? Like,
the heads of the family, yeah, the mob heads, family, yeah.
The heads, and make sure that we, what, like, re-systemize, that's not what he calls
stabilize.
It.
Stabilize. He's afraid stabilize. That they're finding him weak because he was not only allegedly dead, but he also, like, left for a passion project.
Well, and I feel like that means that whatever Echo tried to do that people are saying, like, weakened him and, like, made him soft or whatever, didn't work. He's back on his plane being the crime boss that he's always been.
Then what was the point of the third act with that moment of what did you do?
I don't know. It shocked him.
Yeah, okay,
it shocked him, and he was like, fuck, you got into my head.
So literally, you can either tell a beautiful story of like, hey, this is a pivotal moment that maybe will change or transform him, but then the next scene, you can't be like, oh, fuck it, he's not.
Maybe he's too far gone. Maybe she can't heal him. Maybe he's so broken that... Maybe he's unfixable.
Maybe you should write a better story.
I think that is a good story. What she did to him will change him for a time. I just think she didn't really hold on to his head long enough. But he will be probably...
Just like Mantis and Thanos, you gotta keep him asleep. Doesn't matter how much Chris Pratt is slapping him in the face saying... No, you didn't. Sorry.
I think it's
like
be a
Saturday
big...
night. You gotta hold the head as long as it takes.
Yeah, you may be getting slapped around, but you just hold that head.
I think it'll be a big part of, obviously, Daredevil Born Again, where we see Kingpin is not the villain that Daredevil's expecting, and he will be distrusting of that for the entire series. And you won't. Maybe they won't reveal that he's actually got a bad ulterior motives. Maybe it'll be a long time, but we'll all be sitting there going, he's still bad. Come on. Yeah. Come on, guys.
Who's what lights are he is he gonna turn on with hostages next? Ooh. Yeah.
Why are my lights
on? It's a game show now.
This time I installed 3 lights. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, thank you so much. If you've listened to this podcast all the way through, you're a champ. I appreciate you, and I know I've been unbearable and I apologize. But hey, we love you. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you'd like to support,
we still love you, Brandon.
I'm sorry.
We do.
It's just been kind of a bummer.
No, you're. I mean, you know, it's just the norm.
Remember Loki?
I punched my mic.
that was karma for that slut. So we are going back.
Please know that I have given Brandon consent to call me a slut. That makes it sound worse. He's not calling me a slut out of malice.
No, it's benevolence.
It's a funny joke.
It's a funny
joke.
Hey, call your friends.
Don't come after him for that shit.
If you love
your sluts.
Yeah, you can call your friends that you love sluts. That's what you can do. Don't call people that don't want to be called sluts sluts. Don't do that, okay. All right? Sluts? All right.
But so, what's the best way to find out which kind of person they are, right? You got to test it.
Well, you ask. you ask, hey. Slut, you mind if I call you slut? And they're like,
oh no,
like lol, why'd you call me slut? But yeah, that's fine. Slut. And then it keeps going. It's literally
probably best friend for life.
We are going to return back to Twitch at twitch.tv/abingerspodcast, guys. Next Friday, if you're listening to this before Friday, February 16th, you're in luck. We are going to be live on Twitch discussing What If and Echo. So we're going to do a kind of a combination podcast. We'll record it for our audio listeners. However, if you want to join us live on air, talk with us as we stream, we're very involved with our chat. We love talking to our chat and we love hearing from you. So twitch.tv/Avengers podcast, you'll get to see an episode of the podcast live with us talking. We'd love to have you there. So check it out. Patreon, get ready, because we're going to put a post out there for your thoughts on Echo and What If. You can leave your thoughts on Echo, What If, or both. Leave it in the comments. We'll probably separate them both out so we can have each one kind of be dedicated. We'll probably have a first half of the show, What If, second half of the show, Echo, and hey, maybe we'll even have some quiplash at the end and have a good old time. So join
us. Oh, good. I found my wet blanket. Good, 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 good. I thought I'd lost it.
You hate quiplash?
Oh, no. What If.
Oh, yeah. Kind of... I remember those weeks.
Yes. So.
I blocked them out.
So it's funny because one of us is always going to be unhappy the entire time. So enjoy it. But we cannot wait to be live back on Twitch for you all. We hope you will join us. So, yeah. And patrons, get ready to post your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you on any of those shows. Should be a good, good, fun time. So. If you want to support the show, like the show, patreon.com/Avengers podcast, $1 gets you access to our Discord, exclusive episodes not found anywhere else, and you can also get pre-show banter. We do that every single episode, 30 minutes before the show. You just get to hear us being us, talking about our week. It's actually my favorite time to record, and it's usually the most fun, just kind of literally out there, a little bit more of our personality shining through, if you can imagine that. So check out patreon.com/Avengers podcast. Don't have a dollar every single month? No problem. A quick free way to support the show is a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. You can go to Spotify or Apple Podcast and leave a 5-star rating. Promise you, it goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show. You don't have to agree with us every single time. We completely understand. But if we made you laugh, made you think, or you really enjoyed the content, or you just want to continue to see this show grow, a quick, free, easy way to support the show is a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Another thing about Spotify that's really cool, you can leave a comment. Let us know what you think of the show. Had a really, really cool comment. And also, we got a great 5-star review on Apple saying, simply the best. Fuck yeah, you're awesome. So appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate you all supporting the show. We will be back next week on Twitch. And then, hey, join us after we get done recording. We'll do some Quiplash, which is a fun game that we play with our listeners. And I promise you, if you like playing games and you like three mediocre hosts, you're going to have a great fucking time because we all have a fucking blast. Two mediocre hosts. Sorry. Emmy and Keith. I'm fine. Okay.
Fuck you.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. Cannot wait for next week. We love you all. We really appreciate it. But before we head on out, we have one last credits name to get to.
Oh, motherfucker. We have three. All right.
I just want it to be done.
I know. So I'm just going to go over it real quick. All right. Ready? Second assistant accountant is Anna Buttermore. I do like more butter on everything.
Yes,
please. Anna Buttermore. That's how I order my green beans. Green beans, Anna Buttermore. It's pretty good. Fuck you. All right. Our greens gang bosses. This is literally how it was.
Okay.
This is how they're titled in the credits of Echo. I don't know what that job is, but I want it. Amazing. Is William Tripp. Oh, no. William Tripp? Did anybody check on him? Is he hurt? Okay. All right. And our purchasing foreperson is Eric DeYoung. Hi, Eric DeYoung. I'm Emmy, the old.
Holy shit, I laughed at 2 out of 3 of those, and I'm ashamed. Buttermore and the Young. All right. Sometimes it's not about the name. It's about Emmy's shitty delivery that somehow makes it funny. And
it's her own healing powers. She's going to heal your brain.
And the whole time I'm like,
we're going to heal you.
Every time she makes me laugh with it, I'm like, what did you do? So we're out of here, guys.
Eric DeYoung.
Thank you so much. That was three, Emmy. Fuck off.
I know. Well, I love that they gave gratitude to the Choctaw Nation for partnering with them in this project. I thought that was a really nice touch.
Thank you.
Eric DeYoung.
No.
Emmy DeOld.
We're out. Thank you so much.
We should get together.
We'll see you next week.
Boy, you single?
Join us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Avengers Podcast. We're heading out of here. Thank you so much. We love you all, despite how wet of a blanket some of us can be. And by some of us, I mean me. We're out of here. Emmy, Keith, any final words before we call it an Echo series?
Skoden, watch Reservation Dogs. It's fucking great. Check that show out.
I can't wait for the next episode of this season.
Episode six.
Cannot wait. Episode six.